This is Moe and McGee on Fantasy.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Moe and McGee on Fantasy. As promised, we're back with the NFC North. I know a lot of you are itching to hear Logan talk about the Vikings. So let's not leave much to wait. But first, just want to pitch again, Derek's Mega Bowl. Go and sign up.
Absolutely. We had a lot of fun playing it last year. We had a lot of fun talking to Derek. You can sign up at Derek'sMegaBowl@yahoo.com. Just send him an email, say you want to play. Really, if you've not played in a fishbowl league or a mega bowl type league, it is so much fun. Get to the playoffs. You're going to face teams that have similar players. And kind of like Derek said when we had him on a couple weeks ago, it really makes those other decisions that much more important. So if you guys both have Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't have Chris Godwin and I have Terry McLaurin. What happens there? So very fun stuff.
Yeah, real fun stuff. Go and sign up, folks. So let's get started on the NFC North. At the bottom, I have the Detroit Lions.
No surprise.
Not much surprise. I do think that they'll be better. I don't think they'll be picking in the top. Well, they might be picking in the top three, to be honest. But they go out, they get hometown kid and Aiden Hutchinson to help bolster that defense. For me, it's just the rest of the defense is kind of hot garbage. And no matter what Dan Campbell's able to do with the offense, they're still in the words of Fran Fischel, they're 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Yeah, I'm a little more bullish on the Lions. Just because I think if Dan Campbell's shtick doesn't get old, I think he can will this team to one or two extra wins just based on Dan Campbell's grit alone. I mean, we saw them beat some teams they had no business beating. They should have beat the Vikings twice last year. They did once. And then Greg Joseph had to nail a 53-yard field goal to beat them the other time. There's a lot to like in fantasy on this team, though, Kevin. We're going to skip the quarterback position. You're not drafting Jared Goff. You're not picking him up unless you're really desperate. But when it gets to the skill position players, you have DeAndre Swift, who's going to be highly drafted. You have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was pretty brilliant to end last year. DJ Shark gets added to this team, who was once really interesting fantasy player. Jameson Williams will come back midway through the season. Should be really good. And then my guy, TJ Hockenson, who was my keeper last year in our keeper league, Kevin. And he'll be a top five-ish tight end. So where do you want to start with the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, I think I want to start in the backfield because the one name you missed, I think, is the thorn in DeAndre Swift's side, Jamal Williams. Do I still want DeAndre Swift all over the place? Yes. I think that we're talking about in PPR leagues wanting pass catchers. He fits that bill. Jared Goff has shown that he's very fine checking it down. And with a healthier DeAndre Swift this year, I think the ceiling really is RB1, the overall RB1. Will he finish there? No, I don't think so. But I think he has the potential to do great things on this team.
Well, here's where you start with the DeAndre Swift mold of running back. Does he have a potential to catch 70 passes? Yes. And then once you start at that point, so he can catch 70 passes, I mean, how many passes do you think Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to catch? No, 80 maybe? You're talking about the 10 more catches, and you're drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's not going to run the ball. DeAndre Swift might run the ball 200 more times. So you're adding 200 touches to potentially 70 catches. That's, like you said, it's a recipe that you can break the bank in the second round drafting DeAndre Swift.
Yeah. Where's So second round, is that where you're hopping on DeAndre Swift then? Or would you debate him at the very, very end of the first?
Depends on how that first round shakes out. I usually like going wide receiver in the first and then kind of playing a semi-zero running back strategy. DeAndre Swift would be the perfect complement to that if I could get him in the second round. So, yeah, I'm all over him in the second. I think if you're making me draft him over some wide receivers, I pause a little bit. But like I just said, if he can catch 70 passes, he's well worth a first-round ticket.
So what about the pass catchers? TJ Hockenson, for me, falls into that 4-6 tight end category where I want a top six tight end. And if I have to overdraft to get a top six tight end, I will. Ideally, I want one of those top three and Kelsey, Pitts, or Andrews. But for me, if there's five tight ends taken, I'm using my next pick to get TJ Hockenson, almost regardless of the of where we are in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right with that. Is he's just because of the dearth of tight end options, you have to almost overdraft them. I think you'll see a lot of Travis Kelce, a lot of Kyle Pitts, a lot of Mark Andrews in the third rounds of fantasy drafts. I potentially you see Travis Kelce and Kyle Pitts in the second round of some drafts. TJ Hockenson is in that second tier. Not quite the George Kittle, not quite the, I don't know, who would be even ranked 10th? Don't even know his name.
We'll throw up Pat Freiermuth.
Pat Freiermuth, yeah. So he's not George Kittle, but he's definitely not Pat Freiermuth. So I'm with you drafting him a little earlier than I might want to because of necessity of, you're staring at some bad options if you don't. Where are you at with any? I think we can both say we like Amon-Ra St. Brown as a nice back end wide receiver 2, high end wide receiver 3. Where are you at with the other options? DJ Shark, Jameson Williams, and I'll throw Josh Reynolds there, who had a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is being way overdrafted at wide receiver 27. I think anybody who's picking him at that cost is making a huge mistake. But any of those other guys, maybe not Josh Reynolds, but Jameson Williams at wide receiver 59, you're getting him in, you know, the 13th round at this point, 12th, 13th round at this point.
Getting him for free, Kevin.
Yeah. It's especially in a keeper league, way too late. You won't have him for the start of the season, more than likely, but will be a nice IR stash, especially if the league has IR IR spots. I would take Jameson Williams probably upwards towards the 10th round.
Okay. And you're just kind of out on DJ Shark until you see it, or what?
If I can get him at wide receiver 60, which is about where he's going, I think I'll take him. Just because I do think that because Amon-Ra St. Brown's being overdrafted, that by association probably means DJ Shark's being underdrafted. So I'll take him for free at the very end of the draft.
Yeah, and here's the thing that people continue to overlook about these bad teams. Bad teams mean bad defenses. Bad defenses means passing at the end of the games, fourth quarter, third quarter, a lot of passing situations. And, you know, we saw it with Amon-Ra St. Brown last year. We saw it with – we even had some really nice games out of Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond as well. You can get some good fantasy value on bad teams. Speaking of bad teams, Kevin.
Yeah, bad teams.
The Bears.
I have them finishing third in the NFC North. And to be honest, they're probably one of the teams that I'm most down on in fantasy. Justin Fields is a little intriguing. David Montgomery is intriguing if he's underdrafted. but I'm not. I think the team's going to be bad enough that he's going to game script it out of games. Not going to be able to run the ball when the receiving core is just hot garbage. After Darnell Mooney, you're looking at Byron Pringle. They drafted Velus Jones Jr., who is, I think, like 35 already, and he was drafted this year. He's 25, but old as shit for a rookie. They did trade for N'Keal Harry. They did go get Tajay Sharpe. They did go get Dante Pettis. But if you know any of those names, they've all been kind of gross. So yeah, I mean, the pass catchers are just disgusting.
Yeah, Tajay Sharpe's on his like fourth team in 4 years. N'Keal Harry, you know, if you can't make it as a Patriot, I just feel like there's probably something wrong with you. It's just like the most gifted system. Like, you go in there, if you follow the system, you should be pretty successful as an NFL football player. And he was drafted in the first round, Kevin, and had zero success there. I'm drafting Darnell Mooney as I almost would like him in the fourth, fifth round, because I think everything is going to be focused on him in the passing game. You mentioned, who are some wide receivers out there? The short list of guys that can get, you know, 12 to 13 targets a game. Darnell Mooney is a guy who I don't think is like the first person you think of, but I think there will be more games than not that he's targeted nine times or more, at least. So I'm in on Darnell Mooney because, once again, bad team. They're going to be down most games. They just really are. So if Justin Fields shows anything, it's going to be because Darnell Mooney is catching them. I also like Cole Kmet as a late round tight end flyer. If you miss out on those top six, he's going to be leading that tight end room. And I think, you know, he, as a former second round pick himself, should be shown something by this time. This is year two for him. It's where most tight ends usually take that jump. But let me ask you this. You said you're kind of down on David Montgomery. Where would you feel safe? Where's your safe zone with him?
So David Montgomery is being drafted at RB 18, pick 33. If I could get him at the early part of the fourth, mid part of the fourth, I'm okay with that. But I just think there's far more intriguing players that are being drafted behind him. Kyle Pitts, Deontay Johnson, Michael Pittman Jr., all guys that I would draft miles ahead of David Montgomery, just because, you know, I love the talent in David Montgomery, but this offense might struggle to score a lot, and Justin Fields might be encouraged more to run this year now that he's in year two, taking away some of those red zone touches.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's going to be a zero running back target for me if I truly decide to go, you know, if that's becoming more and more viable strategy now with all the great wide receivers we have. If you go wide receiver in rounds one and two, I think you could probably do worse than David Montgomery as your RB1 in the third round if you decide to go zero RB. You mentioned most of those players that are going behind him are wide receivers, tight end, targets. So let's say you're loaded at that position already. David Montgomery can kind of be, I think he'll have a nice safe floor. I don't think he's going to finish as a high-end RB1. But if you're desperate at the position in the third round, you can do worse, I think.
So let's play a little game here. David Montgomery, or these are all running backs being drafted after him currently, Antonio Gibson.
Montgomery.
David Montgomery or Breece Hall?
Breece Hall.
Montgomery or Josh Jacobs?
Who? That's really close. I'm probably going to stick with David Montgomery, though.
And then last one, I'm going to throw two more at you. Montgomery or Etienne?
If you told me I had to draft David Montgomery in the third round, or I could draft Travis Etienne in the fifth, I'm taking Etienne.
Last one here, Elijah Mitchell or David Montgomery.
Same thing as Etienne, probably. Yeah, I'd probably go with Mitchell.
Yeah, we're getting about a round gap there. So
yeah,
you might pass on him, hoping to get one of those two later. But I think it speaks to, there's just not the upside for David Montgomery. Nobody thinks that the Bears are going to be just an offensive force where David Montgomery has the opportunity to be a top 12 running back. Whereas some of these other guys, you know, probably not ETN, but you think that maybe there's enough there on some of those other players that they have at least some more upside.
Well, and we could be staring at the end of the season and be like, we were idiots if Justin Fields makes a huge year two jump and this is a high flying offense centered around Fields, Mooney, and Montgomery. However, what's the percentage chance that happens? You know, 10-ish percent, maybe less. Yeah.
Not good.
It worries.
So let's keep it moving to maybe one of the most intriguing fantasy teams, but who I think will come up a little bit short in the NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings, the mighty, mighty Vikings.
The purple people eaters. I was super surprised at this offseason from them. I really thought they would, new coach, new GM, let's just tear this baby down to the studs, build through Justin Jefferson. But they did not. They kind of doubled down on this core. They doubled down on Kirk, Dalvin, Thielen. They doubled down in the defensive area with, you know, Danielle Hunter, Eric Kendricks. It's the same guys, Harrison Smith. You guys have been seeing around.
The same guys that have proven they can get absolutely roasted in the air.
Yeah, well, so they did add a couple different pieces. So Za'Darius Smith, you know, last time we saw him really play well was 2019 when he was, you know, I think PFF's third best edge rusher, was lost all last season, comes back. He should be a nice pairing with Daniil on the edge there. Then they beefed up the inside with Harrison Phillips from the Bills. Is the back end going to hold up? Is Patrick Peterson, can he hold up? Cameron Dantzler has toyed with being a really good cornerback the last couple years. Can he, in his third year, solidify as a nice cornerback? They did draft Andrew Booth in the second round. They got Chandon Sullivan, slot corner, from the Packers. And then you know what you're getting from Harrison Smith, but what's going to happen at the other safety position? Lewis Cine, their first-round pick. I think this team, it kind of hinges on that defense. Is it going to get blown away like it did at times last year? It has the potential.
Yeah, and I think one concerning thing for that defense is what the offense wants to do with the new head coach and Kevin O'Connell. I'm a little concerned that there's going to be a lot more lean on the pass that could put that defense in some vulnerable positions at times, but, you know, might also, you know, on the good things for the Vikings side, have some really short offensive series because they will move the ball efficiently through the air at times. I'm just concerned that defense is going to be on the field a lot. And I don't trust the defense. That's why I have them finishing second in the NFC North.
For sure. It hinges on over 30-year-old players to, for some of them, go back in time and reach back into their peak. You know, Eric Kendricks showed some drop-off last year. Patrick Peterson showed some drop-off. Harrison Smith showed some drop-off. Can a new coach, in you know, reinvigorate those older guys? If it does, this is a team that can take off. If it doesn't, this is a team that's going to be around 500, just like it has been for the last however many years I've been alive. But that's not why we're here, Kevin. That's not why we stopped on the Vikings. They have what potentially could be quite a few fantasy relevant offensive players.
Yeah, and it's a lot of the same usual suspects: Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison. Maybe a couple newbies, and Irv Smith Jr. haven't seen a lot of him on the playing field. KJ Osborne has kind of been a recent emergence for that team, but a lot of these guys that you've been relying on fantasy the last couple plus years. I think Kevin O'Connell is going to hurt Dalvin Cook a little bit in terms of the red zone touches, but he's going to help Dalvin Cook in terms of the receiving ability. And I think it works out to a little bit of a wash, but a slight downgrade from, I'm not drafting him as a top three running back anymore, but I'm still drafting him pretty high up there.
And the thing with Dalvin Cook is you kind of force your hand to having to draft Alexander Mattison because you know Dalvin Cook is going to miss 2 to 3 games. Just a thing you know going into a season. Like you said, I don't think much changes about where you're drafting these guys. You're going to draft Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson in the first round of fantasy drafts. Last year, you got the can he do it again discount for Justin Jefferson. You are no longer going to get that discount. He is going to go in the first round of any fantasy draft you have. And I think Adam Thielen, people are really down on Adam Thielen, and I'm not sure why. Yeah, he's struggled with injuries a little bit the last 2 years. But the man is going to be a wide receiver too. He just is. Kirk Cousins loves Adam Thielen, goes to him in clutch situation, goes to him in the red zone. I really think what's Adam Thielen's ADP right now?
That's wide receiver 30, right at the beginning of the sixth round.
Yeah, I'm hammering that every day of the week. You know, it might be because I have a couple Adam Thielen jerseys in my closet, Kevin, but I'm going to absolutely murder him I'm probably not going to get him in our fantasy draft because we have, six Vikings fans. So naturally those guys tend to sift up the board a little bit.
And I'm an overdraft Adam Thielen as well. I'm in the same boat as you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get where we're thinking some magical drop off is going to happen.
Yeah. He's always been a target monster in the red zone. And that was with the old coaching staff that I don't think really wanted to throw it in the red zone as much as Kevin O'Connell's going to want to. Wide receiver 30 seems criminally low.
Yeah, and so what's Adam Thielen's best skill set? It's not his speed. It's not his leaping ability. It's his crisp route running. We've seen guys that if that's their skill, Larry Fitzgerald played until he was almost 40. It's not because Larry Fitzgerald was ever a burner he did have the ability to leap over people in his younger age, but how did he keep playing? Because he was pretty devastating in a short yardage situation running routes. I think Adam Thielen's going to be a pretty consistent guy like that for the next 3 to 4 years until he really ages out. Irv Smith Jr., Kevin. You mentioned we haven't seen much of him. The old regime liked throwing to the tight end.
They did.
The Rams, however, did not really.
Yeah, you'd see Tyler Higbee pop up for a 3-touchdown game and then go get 0 targets the next. So what are we going to see from Irv Smith? If it's what we saw at Alabama, it could be, lights out. He could enter that top 6 tight end conversation next year. But right now, he's worth a flyer if you miss out on the top 6, but we say that about a lot of guys. So I honestly don't know what to do about Irv Smith.
Yeah, I think if you go the non-6 tight end route, it might be I know you don't usually want to construct your rosters this way, but it might be beneficial to take 2 flyers on, say Evan Ingram and Irv Smith. Chances are,
and Logan Thomas.
Yeah.
Two ups, huge upside tight ends. one of them might hit.
It, chances are probably neither of them are going to hit. But if you give yourself, you know, more coins in the slot, you know, you'll, there's a chance you might hit. So, and then Kirk Cousins, go ahead.
The only other thing I wanted to say about tight ends was,
yeah,
your last three or four draft spots are you're probably going to cut week one anyway, to pick up the hot new waiver wire guy. So it's really at very low risk. If you take two tight ends, basically at no cost, those last couple rounds, last three, four rounds, you're not out anything taking those two shots. And you get to read week one and react.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the coaching change to Kevin O'Connell benefiting the pass. Kirk Cousins he's not going to win you a week, but is there an Matthew Stafford-like bump that could potentially happen with Kirk Cousins where we see him enter a pretty consistent top 10 QB situation?
Yeah, if you totally strike out on quarterback, I don't mind leaving the draft with Kirk Cousins. Last year, they were in some garbage time games, which boosted him a little bit. So that might wash out with where he ends up at the end of this season. There probably won't be in those garbage time situations as much, but they will be passing more. So might work out to a wash. I'm not going out of my way to get him under any circumstance. But if I totally struck out on quarterback and I'm picking between him, Trevor Lawrence, and, you know, whoever else is in that Derek Carr, that QB 11 through 14 category, Kirk Cousins is probably my favorite.
Yeah, I think we kind of nailed it on the head with these Vikings. There's potential there for a 10 to 11 win team. There's also potential for 7 wins once again. So it all depends. It all kind of hinges on how quickly Kevin O'Connell adjusts, how the older defensemen can kind of stay relevant. But everyone knows the NFC North runs through one team and one team only.
Yeah, that team out in Wisconsin, the Green Bay Packers. Lost Davante Adams. Will that crush them? My vote's probably not. That defense is going to be pretty fucking good this year. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers. There's not really any other way to put it. That offense could probably be, you could copy and paste probably the Lions or Bears or Seahawks, Falcons, whoever you want. Put that team with Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to do well enough to win enough games to win the division, I think.
God, can you imagine Aaron Rodgers with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf? Holy shit.
Maybe not the best.
That would be terrifying. That would be the best fantasy offense ever. Instead of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, he has Christian Watson and Alan Lazard. There's also Randall Cobb, Sammy Watkins. Did draft Amari Rodgers last year in the second round, but looks to be he's kind of buried now in that depth chart with the addition of Sammy Watkins and Christian Watson. Where are you at with those wide receivers, Kevin? Are you going to where are you thinking to draft Lazard and Watson?
If I can get them for free, I'll take them. If I have to draft them above the 10th round, I'm not going to. Like you said, it's a buried depth chart, but, you know, Romeo Doubs could be in that conversation. Robert Tonyan could have a resurgence and just be the guy that Rodgers looks to. Those running backs are going to catch plenty of passes. So many question marks in the receiving core that I would just prefer to sit out. And there's a good chance that whoever does win over the starting job and is the guy is on the waiver wire week one, and you can spend all your fab and get that guy.
I was just about to say, you might find yourself in a situation where you'll be spending $70 of fab money on Christian Watson 2 weeks into the season. Or, you know, $70 on Alan Lazard. I think Watson and Lazard will probably both get drafted in most drafts, just because He has to. Rodgers is a back-to-back MVP. Like you said, he's going to do Rodgers stuff. He's going to throw the ball. Here's where I'm a little bit more intrigued is the backfield. And could we potentially see Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon out there together with the weakness of this wide receiving core? You could almost have Aaron Jones as like a H-back or like even a slot receiver-ish role, catching 70 passes.
I want to see it, and I have no evidence for why this is true, but it just doesn't feel like Matt LaFleur's MO. He seems like the guy that just wants to kill every fantasy team out there and put only one on the field at a time. Are you hitting the lottery if that does happen and you have one of those two guys? Absolutely. I think Aaron Jones definitely has potential to be RB1, the RB1. Am I going to draft him anywhere as close to that? No. But we talk about ceilings, and he's a guy that if A.J. Dillon goes down, or if he has significant receiving game work, which I think a lot of us expect, he can make a lot happen with those opportunities.
Yeah, and if you're speaking lottery tickets, I think there's very few places, very few players, I should say, that you could do worse than taking an A.J. Dillon flyer, because if Aaron Jones goes down at all for any stretch of the time, I think A.J. Dillon is a monster, and he's going to carry some fantasy teams. Matt LaFleur has shown with A.J. Dillon and Jamal Williams, he doesn't trust Aaron Jones for a full workload. He just doesn't. So I think it's going to be a tricky situation. I think you'd like to have both of them on your team. Am I going to spend up for Aaron Jones? I don't think so.
No, probably not. Aaron Jones is currently going, pull it up here. Yeah, dumbass Kevin searched for Jones. There's only 100 Joneses. Going at pick 21, which is RB12. So you're getting him at the end of the second, if you want him. Would you hop on him in the middle of the second? Would you pick him over Alvin Kamara, Nick Chubb, DeAndre Swift?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm taking him after all those guys. I think Nick Chubb and him are kind of a good comparison as guys who have pretty solid RB2s on their team, and they're going to share some different types of work. I just like Aaron Jones. You know, I like Nick Chubb's running ability better than I like Aaron Jones. And where has Aaron Jones' value been? Scoring a lot of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And A.J. Dillon in his third year in the league, second year in the league.
Second. It will be his third, yeah.
His third year in the league, they might rely on him in the red zone a little more than they have in the past.
Anything else on the Green Bay Packers, future NFC North champions?
No, I just fucking hate that they're always so damn good. Get Rodgers the fuck out of here.
Maybe in 12 years, the Vikings will have a shot to win the division. We'll see.
No, just got to get Rodgers out of here. Jordan Love, we know he's not good, so just get him out. You know what's going to happen is Aaron Rodgers will be gone, you know, within these next couple of years. They're going to have one really bad season, draft some absolute god in the first round, and just be amazing. So
yeah, or just have, for some reason, Justin Herbert walks into their laps or something ridiculous. It seems like the Packers' luck.
Yep. But that's it for the North, folks.
Yeah, that'll do it. You've been listening to Mo and McGee on Fantasy. We'll catch you next time with the NFC South.
See ya, folks.